जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभी वरदारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभी वरदारी यसूर नंदन विज जनारंजन यसूर नंदन विज जनारंजन याम न चीर वन चारी याम न चीर वन चारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे hari ram hari ram 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 hari 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 krishna
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhavajakacharya. Asatar Satshishmar, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhavajakacharya. Asatar Satshishmar, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta Saraswati, Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Anathakuti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavnityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vindiki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopakopinath Shamkun Radha Kunda Giri Gaur Dana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Hari Namasang Kirt Ki Jai, Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, and all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Right into the verse? Okay, yeah. Om Bhagavate Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Pahishmati nama vibhur yam I don't think so. I got big letters. Thank you. Yam nivishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatrayavinashayam varishmatim namavibhur yam nivishya samavasad tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatrayavinashanam Parishmatim namavibhur yam nivishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam Tapatraya vinashanam Vishmatin nama vibhur Tapatraya vinashanam Vahishmatin nama vibhur Tasyam Vishvishto Bhavanam Tapatraya Vinashanam Synonyms? Anyone else want to? Huh? Oh, my apologies. Please, ladies. Tapatraya vinashanam Parishmatin namavibhur Yam nivishyatya samavata Tayam pravishto bhavanam Tapatraya vinashanam Anyone else? Parishmatim The city Barhishmati Nam. I'm sorry. No, I included. Let's do that again. Nama, named. Vibhu, the very powerful Svayambhuva Manu. Yam, which. Nivishya, having entered. Samavasat, he lived in previously. Tasyam, in that city. Pravishtaha, entered. Bhavanam, the palace. Tapatraya, the threefold miseries. Vinashanam, destroying. Do we go directly to translation now? Pardon? Okay. Yeah, that's what I have. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Having entered the city of Vahishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which was filled with an atmosphere that eradicated the three miseries of material existence. Let's do it together. Having entered the city of Vahishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which was filled with an atmosphere, that eradicated the three miseries of material existence. Purport. The material world, or material existential life, is filled with threefold miseries. Miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries pertaining to natural disturbances, and miseries inflicted by other living entities. Human society is meant to create a spiritual atmosphere by spreading the spirit of Krishna consciousness. The miseries of material existence cannot affect the status of Krishna consciousness. This means pure Krishna consciousness, advanced Krishna consciousness, not beginner's Krishna consciousness. It can affect those. The miseries of material existence cannot affect the status of Krishna consciousness. It is not that the miseries of the material world completely vanish when... I'll say it again. It is not that the miseries of the material world completely vanish when one takes to Krishna consciousness. But for one who is Krishna conscious, the miseries of material existence have no effect. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere. But Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of material existence. For a Krishna conscious person, both living in heaven and living in hell are equal. How Svayambhuva Manu created an atmosphere wherein he was not affected by material miseries is explained in the following verses. So the main point that is being made here is that when you become, or when we become fully, truly Krishna conscious, to be fully conscious, Krishna conscious, be truly Krishna conscious, means you virtually are always thinking about Krishna. I see... I'm so sorry. Okay, thanks for telling me. Is that better? Good, okay. So, should I do those lines over again? No, okay. But for one who is Krishna conscious, the miseries of material existence have no effect. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere. But Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method. You all know what antiseptic means, that which repels, that which gets rid of. For example, if you get a cut on your hand and you put some antiseptic on it, then the whole idea is to prevent any germs from causing infection in the wound. So, because the germs will be killed by the fluid. For a Krishna conscious person, both living in heaven and living in hell, living in heaven and living in hell are equal. How Svayambhuva Manu created an atmosphere wherein He was not affected by material miseries is explained in the following verses, which will be done tomorrow. So this is a very important point, because people in general are affected by the least distraction or diversion or problem, and they get upset by it. They get disturbed by it. They feel and think that everything should be harmonious, perfect, smooth, and non-disturbing, which is an illusion. There's no such thing in the material world. There are always things coming and going, upsetting, distressing, diverting, and also pleasing us, gladdening us, helping us to do better in certain things. So both are there, the pleasurable and the unpleasurable. So the whole point in Krishna consciousness is that devotees walk and talk and move amongst all sorts of disturbances, but in spite of that fact, are unaffected. This is to say that it's like some dust blows on your head and then it blows off. You're unaffected. You know it's there, but it doesn't bother you. It doesn't disturb you. So in Krishna consciousness, when we develop this love of Krishna, consciousness of Krishna, thoughts of Krishna's activities, his pastimes, this has a buttressing effect. By that is meant, it's like if you try to throw some acid on steel, but it's not going to affect it. It just falls off. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, when we walk amongst these things which can be hostile, which can be inflammatory, which can be contemptuous. You get these things. Persons say, Krishna consciousness, who are you trying to impress, and things like that. A devotee is unaffected by these things. And why he's unaffected is because he knows that these things cannot hurt him, cannot bother him, cannot disturb him. And why or her? Why? Because of the fact that he's buttressing or has already filled himself with Krishna consciousness, which means that he's unaffected, undisturbed, unshaken by these sometimes insults, sometimes disturbances, things which happen from noise or disturbances, which car crashes. There's always something going on which is hostile at some point. And so the devotee is filled with these preventions. Can't affect him. Loud noise, some people hear a loud noise, they're jumping like this. But then there are others who expect or know that the worst can happen at any moment. And if he has that feeling, then when the loud noise comes, it's just part of the plan. Part of what goes on. And he's not affected, not disturbed. And that should be all of us as we grow and develop in Krishna consciousness. And even if a person is walking across the street and the car horn blows you, and he does it in a hostile and a contemptuous way, so it's natural to get a little upset. But a devotee who's ready for the worst at any given time, because he knows this is the material world, and that's the worst, no matter or in spite of all of the different decorations, all of the different preventions and the like. So the important point is this, is that devotee has the opportunity to stay peaceful, to stay calm, to stay controlled as a result of his doing the practices that he does on a regular basis. What practices? Just, for example, the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's not just a batch of sounds, but they are divine sounds. They are godly sounds. And when they enter the heart, they bring strength, they bring joy, they bring fulfillment, and they bring satisfaction. Some people chant and they don't get anything out of it because their heart is not in it and they don't understand what they're even chanting. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. I offer it as a love offering. May you be pleased to accept this. So when there is this loving exchange which is going on, what happens is that the person is always filled with the happiness which comes from offering one's love to the Supreme Lord. That is the ultimate goal. That is where we're headed, to love the Lord. What is it to love the Lord? To love the Lord means to give pleasure to the Lord, do things that the Lord likes. We're all coming to this class. That is, the Lord likes that because we're talking about Him. And I'm talking about Him, listening to things about Him, knowing things about Him, and practicing things about Him, that pleases Him as well as ourselves. So therefore, that is very useful to do. In fact, it is said that the more we can think about Krishna, if you can think about Him as almost often as possible, this is the most blessed, most beneficial, most happiest moment of our lives. And if we can do that moment after moment after moment, then those things which I mentioned, like a car horn or somebody shouting at you or somebody making fun of your clothing or whatever, will not never affect, because the joy of Krishna consciousness is spreading from the heart all the way throughout the entire body, especially, as I said, from the heart to the head. And it makes us even want to sing, and it makes us want to even dance. In fact, I sometimes see devotees, they're walking down the street, and they start dancing without any provocation of any musician or anything like that, because the music is in their head. And because the music is in their head, and they're feeling the joy and the pleasure and love of Krishna consciousness, therefore, they start a little jig, a little dance like that. And sometimes people will see the devotee doing that, and people who don't understand what this is all about. So the guy comes up to you and says, "Hey, man, what are you on?" Meaning, what drug are you on? That's what you think. So, the drug I'm on is on Krishna consciousness. And why don't you say this? Krishna consciousness. What's that all about? You don't have to know. Just chant it. So the devotee gets through life in a very friendly, joyful, easygoing way. He tries not to, certainly, to get into arguments. Very often, devotees are provoked into argument. But a devotee who's very strong in his Krishna consciousness and has the joy of Krishna consciousness flowing through his or her body and mind, unaffected. It's just another thing out there. But the thing is not bothersome because it never gets into the heart. This is very important. People who have no Krishna consciousness, their heart is affected. "Hey, stupid. Hey, ridiculous. You called all kinds of unknowns." But a devotee may say, I know one devotee, a person called him, "Hey, you fool, what are you dressed like that for? What did you call me? A fool. Thank you very much. At least somebody knows what I am." That's the kind of answer that a person who is fully complete and knowledgeable about himself and has knowledge of Krishna and is offering Krishna consciousness to the world. He doesn't take upset. He doesn't get disturbed. He doesn't get shaken. Why not? Because he knows he really cannot be hurt. It's the old things that we were taught when we were kids. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will." He got it. Right. So that's it. And a devotee has that mentality. Having it, therefore, he's not afraid. He's not affected, not disturbed, not shaken. These things are going on, and they are part of the material world. So as it is mentioned here, we cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere. They're always going to be there. But Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic. As I said, an antiseptic will prevent disease from taking place if you put, for example, iodine or mercuricone or one of these on an open wound, and therefore they kill a lot of different germs which could be the cause of some new infection. So the important point is that it's an antiseptic. That's a nice word that Prabhupada used here, that it prevents, it palliates, it keeps things of an unwanted nature away from us. So it's an antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of material existence. Sometimes I see some newer devotees, they say, look, I'm a devotee. I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. I even walk along the street chanting Hare Krishna. But why am I getting these miseries? Why is my landlord want to throw me out of my apartment? I paid the rent just because there's some breadcrumbs all over the floor. That's no reason to throw me out. Of course, you have kids. They throw the things all over the place. And if the landlord comes in at the wrong time, well, things can happen. So the point is this. And Dodi may say, why is this why aren't they understanding? So that's not the proper answer. These are the things that happen in the material world. They can't be avoided, but they can be ignored. They can be disregarded. They can be thought of nothing. And when we actually do that, what happens is our life remains pacific or calm and controlled. And the result is that you can go on doing whatever your activities happen to be without any disturbance, without any upset, without any without anything hurting us or disturbing what we were trying to do. So this is really the point. There are many people in the world, they're always expecting everything to go just the way they want it to go, because I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I do good things, so therefore good things should happen to me. That's not the way it works. Sometimes we have some karmic reactions coming to us from the past. And we have to get them not only now, but we have to get them now to learn something. And that's therefore sometimes you get a reaction, or you get an accident, you get hurt, the things that I'm mentioning here. But the devotee, if he gets those things, he has to understand that these are learning times to learn something, and time to also understand again and again that the material world is not a place for a gentleman or gentlewoman. It's a place in order to grow, to develop, to learn, and become insulated against many of these things which are afflicting us or harming us or hurting us. So this is the most important thing. Whenever we do get upset or disturbed, we should ask ourselves, why am I getting upset? This is a material world. I should expect these things, and when they happen, so what? Am I being killed? Am I being incapacitated? Am I being hurt? No, I'm not. So just move on and ignore it. That's a person who has got, you know, inner strength. Inner strength is just that. He can pass on in spite of the difficulties, trials, tribulations, problems, and pressures. It doesn't mean he doesn't respond to them. He does respond to them. But he responds always in a positive fashion. Positive means he doesn't get into a vicious argument, as I see sometimes newcomers. Why are you doing that? What's it to you? None of your business. And before you know it, they're having a spat. I almost had a spat with somebody a few weeks ago. But I remember this particular. I said, what am I wasting my time with this guy for? He doesn't even want Krishna conscious. So I just walked away. And so he said, well, are you afraid of me? And I went, yeah, very afraid. That's why I'm running. So the whole point is to be unaffected and have the response that lets a person know that you have it, you got it together. You're stern, you're fulfilled, and also you're joyful, you're satisfied. There should be joy expressed on a Krishna-conscious person's face. Joy as a result of remembering Krishna. Krishna says, always remember me, never forget me. Why? So that you will always be inwardly joyful. And if you're inwardly joyful, those things which are externally or outwardly painful will hardly be felt. And that's because the joy that's coming, it goes over the entire body, and one feels the difference between being a devotee who's filled with Krishna consciousness and joy and bliss and satisfaction and peacefulness, opposed to a person who gets upset, gets disturbed, he becomes hostile, upset, and contemptuous of persons who try to do or say something against him. So our position is that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. When somebody says something against the body, or even maybe bumps against you, why get upset? Sometimes I see a person, he bumps against another person, watch where you're walking. You know, he doesn't say, some other people who are fully Krishna conscious, they just walk away. So what? So I got bumped. Or he makes a joke out of it. And he tells the person, hey, thanks for bumping me. It really felt great. And the guy starts laughing, you know. So it depends on your state of mind, on how we actually deal with these type of things. And if you're peaceful and you're humorous and you're ready for the worst at any time and ready to deal with the worst in the best possible way, meaning in a Krishna conscious way. Why Krishna conscious? Because that's what we are. Krishna conscious means you're thinking of Krishna. And Krishna, if you think of some of the things that he did, it's absolutely amazing. Of course, we're not him, but we can at least try to emulate him in the manner that he acted. He humored people, you know, he joked with people, and he also could get very angry if it were necessary. But when Krishna got angry, it was never real anger. We have to understand that Prabhupada showed anger at times too. So sometimes a person would ask me in a class, well, if Prabhupada showed anger, it's not real anger. There is a difference between affected anger, spelled A-F-F-E-C-T-E-D, affected, pretended anger, and real anger. Sometimes you have to act angry to a person to let him know that this is wrong and it should not be done. And then he gets the message and doesn't do it again. But if you don't say anything, then he may use you as a pincushion so he can put all of his hurts and his harms and difficulties and slam them against somebody, you or me, whoever. So therefore, our main point is that we are always in preparation. Preparation for what? For receiving, if and when possible, Krishna himself, who's already in the heart. And when he begins to express himself in the heart, we feel divine bliss, divine peace, divine love. Those are the things of which Krishna is, and those are the things of which a devotee is. And therefore, he can deal with all of these difficulties and trials and tribulations because he has these innermost feelings that other people don't have because they're not thinking or feeling or willing or doing anything in accordance with Krishna activities. So, I'll leave you with this particular point, is that the more Krishna we think of Krishna and the more we have Krishna in our heart, in our mind, and wherever we go, whatever we do, that we are protected. That is our protection. And it will not, nothing can affect, nothing that can disturb, nothing can shake, because you feel that happiness within. And so when a person may, sometimes people hate when you're happy within, when they're feeling miserable. Why? Because they're envious. And that's their nature. It could be our nature also, if we allowed these things to bother us. But if we, instead of allowing them to bother us, we beg Krishna for his mercy, for his guidance, for his direction. Prayer is a very important part of a devotee's life. And it doesn't mean you have to go shouting out, Krishna, don't forget me! It's not anything like that. He never forgets you because he's in the heart. And he knows exactly what you're experiencing. In fact, what he wants to do is encourage us and direct us and enable us to act better and better in a more Krishna conscious way every moment of our life, so that we can be so Krishna conscious that we can share it with others and others can get Krishna consciousness, and getting it, they too can share it with others. And that's the way Krishna consciousness is spread throughout the world, by one person not just talking about it, but expressing it. Showing it in our action and our daily doings. Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts? Couldn't be that good. Come on, somebody got it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you for the very. I'm a little bit deaf on one ear.
Thank you for the very wonderful class.
Thank you for listening.
I can definitely speak for everyone. It's very exciting. Would you say that always thinking of one's own service is the same as always thinking of Krishna?
No, it's not. Because if you think of it merely as service, that's all it is service. But thinking of Krishna, Krishna is a person. Krishna has feelings. Krishna has thoughts. Krishna has actions. Krishna is somebody, not just nobody. So therefore, thinking of your own service is just that, thinking of your own service. And it could also lead to something egocentric. I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm so glorious, just see. Or it can lead to something wonderful. I'm nothing, I'm useless, worthless, I always make mistakes, I'm always getting into trouble. And instead, but he actually is a great person, but he's big enough to be able to take an affront or an insult or give himself an insult in order to put himself in his proper place and be peaceful. Okay?
Anybody? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure sharing with you, and I hope we have better tomorrow.